Okay. A big game last night. And my boy showed up with the VVS diamonds in his neck. I said, if we win this game against the Chiefs, I'm going to get you iced out. Because if Slim's iced out, then 2-5 got to be iced out. If you see him, and then now you done see me. That's what we do, baby. You see my boy iced up. You see me iced. That's what we do. VVS diamonds. BVS Diamonds. Come on to the desk, because this is Speak. It's time to speak to y'all, America.
When the Eagles win, you already know what it is. Slim is going to be in the building. Shady, who's the jeweler for Slim's, big dog?
Man, my man Sean Juice from Philadelphia, man.
Whoa!
He done got us all iced up. Yeah, you know, he comfortable now.
He is comfortable
big
on this
win.
Show.
Like, you know
hey, Slim, Papa Squad, big dog, you're going to be hanging out with us for a while. On the far end, that's James Jones to the right, the brilliant Joy Taylor, and to my right, Eagles all-time rushing leader, LaShawn, Shady, McCoy, and Slim. He needs no introduction.
Wait, is this Slim's coffee?
That's Slim's cup, big dog. That's Slim's cup. Make sure you put that. Okay. Yep, that's it. And in case Slim just, yep, we get right there. Slim, that's you.
What's up, bro? What's up?
That's all you, Slim. Yeah. All right, family, let's get to 1st and 10 because the game was the most watched game I just saw in the last 25-plus years of Monday night history. Eagles, Chiefs, the whole world was watching. But the question for me is this. James, did the best team win? Because you saw it at the very end of the game. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 51-yard bomb, goes off of his fingertips. It's a drop. Patrick Mahomes, he played a winnable game, but Travis Kelce, he fumbles. Patrick Mahomes has an errant throw in the end zone. Byard gets a pick. Eagles win, Chiefs lose. But did the best team win? And watch him out the round, Slim.
Wait. Before you answer, real quick. Have you ever dropped the ball like that?
Yes, I have.
Why? Like, oh, 50-yard, why?
Wide open.
Bop.
I mean, we showed one in the playoffs when I dropped it against Philly. You know, even though we still beat y'all, that's old stuff.
That's old
stuff. We ain't talking about that. But yes, the best team did win. And the reason why I say the best team won is I understand MVS dropped that pass, but you scored 0 points in the second half. Hmm. You know, so you could put it on one play if you want to, which I am, because I mean that's why Slim here today, because the game over. But at the end of the day, the Philadelphia Eagles came out after halftime, locked them boys down, 0 points in the second half, and we always talk about the big time players making big time plays when the game is on the line, and that's what Jalen Hurts did. Jalen Hurts made big time plays when the game was on the line to win that football game. But this is how Philadelphia been winning all year.
True.
I don't care if it's a good team. I don't care if it's a bad team. I don't care what team it is. A close game, the Philadelphia Eagles are going to come out on top and win a football game. It don't matter who the quarterback is, who the other guys are on the other team, and they gutted themselves to another win, and I believe they are the best team.
Better wash your mouth.
Saying something about the Eagles, he looking at you like,
I'm giving the Eagles credit. You just scared.
It's like, whatever you did, don't do that again.
Hey, Slim, you enjoy one shot, big dog.
It's all good. Which way am I sliding? Here we go. I can share it with Slim. It's all right.
Joy, did the best team win the game last night?
Yeah, they did. I think they did. Now, obviously, the Chiefs are historically, over the past few years, the better team. And, you know, I think that was reflected for the most part over the game until the second half. Look, we've been debating how good both of these teams are all season. So the matchup going the way that it did is actually not surprising because the Chiefs haven't been scoring at a tick that they usually score at. Their offense hasn't been the way that they're winning games. I agree, Slim.
Yo, can we talk about how artistic the shot is?
Yeah, no, it does. It's like you know.
Wait, go back to Joy's one. Go back to Joy's one real quick, Reg. Go back to Joy's one. Can we talk about how artistic that shot is with Slim right there?
Yeah, just,
Joy, you go ahead and preach.
And Philadelphia. Whoa. Philadelphia finds ways. Well, now I think the shot is done. Oh, he said he's
done
with
my
the
ice.
Chain, too.
Oh,
He done with the chain, too.
He done dropped my money out of him. Oh, he done dropped my ice.
He wants to go natural. Anyway, the Eagles have found ways to win all season long. And that's why I say that the Eagles are the better team right now. I don't think we really need to overthink this too much. We saw them up against the best competition in the AFC, and they came out victorious. They made the plays that they needed to make. The defense made plays. Jalen Hurts made plays when he needed to. And right now, I think the Eagles are just the better team. Now, that doesn't mean that this is how it's going to turn out at the end of the season. But right now, at this point in the season, we have our answer.
Yeah, I think my favorite stat that I heard, 2-5, my favorite stat about Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles, in the last 15 games, Jalen Hurts was 14-1. In the last 20 games, Jalen Hurts is 18-2. In the last 30 games, Jalen Hurts is 27-3. So I do think it's fair to say that the best team won last night, because having a 10-point deficit in bad weather, mm-hmm. in Arrowhead, the loudest place to play for my money in the National Football League, and you rallied from that. You gave up 100 yards rushing in the first half. The Chiefs could do whatever they wanted to the Eagles. Then defensively, the Eagles buttoned up. They figured things out in the second half. They got it going. Though Jalen Hurts statistically did not play a marvelous nor miraculous game, in the second half, he made that one necessary throw, that one pivotal throw to Devontae Smith, sideline shaded. To me, the best team won the game, but you got the final thought on this question.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to think that the best team won this game. It's the Eagles. I mean, and the good thing about this game is that you measure yourself against a really, really good opponent. Andy Reid, off the bye, let me tell you this, he's the best at it.
Excellent.
When we have a bye week, I don't care who the opponent is.
Hold on. Hey, Slim, Shady talking, big dog.
No, I'm mad at you.
I'm just saying.
We beefing.
He's not even looking at you.
You know why?
He's not even looking. Can you get some respect on this set, though?
We beefing because where his diamonds at? I got you diamonds. I'm shining. Why you not shining? We won. That was the deal.
I need some respect this way,
Slim. I got you VVS. Where
my
VVS?
It's new for him. Maybe it was hurting his neck. You know?
Eagles all-time rushing leader needs some respect. Yeah. There it is. Go ahead, Shady. Go ahead, Shady.
Anyway, so, yeah, it's just that, like, if look at the game, and they put us against the Chiefs. Really, really good team. I mean, they beat us in Super Bowl for a reason. Mm-hmm. And then we get to this game, and we didn't really play great either, though. Everybody's talking about the drops for the Chiefs and Scantlin dropping the ball. He always had butter hands, by the way. But anyway, we didn't play well either. And we adjusted and we kept going and going and going. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And we finished that game strong. And then you ask me, are we the best team? Did the best team win? Yes. Each week we do this. For example, we beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead, right, on the road Monday night. It's so hard to win games like that. Then we play the Dolphins. We beat the Dolphins at home. Really, really good team. Every time we crown a team that's supposed to be the best in the league, we beat them.
True.
The Cowboys. I mean, are you guys up and say, oh, my God, they beat 40-0. They're so great. Dak Prescott on it. We beat them at home. So it's like, how are we not the best team in football? Right now, it has to be us.
Well, then, with that being said, do you think James Jones at Mahomes needs more help? Because, Joy, you saw it. Patrick Mahomes, I think it's fair to say that he had a better game than Jalen Hurts, if you're watching the tape, not necessarily looking at a stat line. He had a better game than Jalen Hurts. But Travis Kelce has a pivotal drop in the fourth quarter. He made up for it on fourth down. But then he had a pivotal fumble. Shout out to Bradley Roby, acquired on October 3rd with the great punch out. But then, MBS could have easily at least put the Chiefs in position to win the game.
So
Jalen Hurts would have had another 50 seconds or so to go down and score. But Patrick Mahomes did enough to win. Does Mahomes need more help?
Well, we've been saying that. We've been saying Patrick Mahomes needs more help. They do not have a number two playmaker. We've been saying that. And, yes, everybody can say Patrick Mahomes covers that stuff up, but eventually it's going to come back and bite you, you know. And thank God it happened, you know, yesterday, and it didn't happen in the playoffs yet. But this team has been dropping footballs all season long. They've been dropping passes. But I don't even care about the drop passes. Drop passes are going to happen. If you play receiver long enough in this league, you are going to drop passes. MVS will probably drop another one if he keeps playing, right? Travis Kelce will probably drop another one if he keeps playing. You're going to drop passes as a pass catcher. It's going to happen. For me, it was the miscommunication with these young fellas. Mm-hmm. And I got some plays to show you, but when you talk about a go ball, this is a touchdown. You are running into the post, and this is a straight-up one-on-one go ball. Where are you running?
That's
the
wild.
Safety is inside. The ball is in the perfect spot for a walk-in touchdown. And then right here, MVS, this is a high corner. You keep this thing high to the back pylon, so you leave the sideline for Patrick Mahomes to miss the throw.
Yep.
If you pause it right here, look at his angle going towards the sideline. Patty ain't got no room to miss that throw. And that's why the ball is there, and you even see Patrick Mahomes on the live TVs thing saying keep the angle high. That's the play. So for me, drops are going to happen. When you're not on the same page with your receivers, or your receivers are not on the same page with you, especially your number two and your three receiver, when Travis Kelce is getting doubled, that's a problem, and it's going to be hard for them to overcome that against the good football teams.
Yeah, and they're not scoring at the rate that they used to score, and they've been relying a little bit on their defense this year. That's not their DNA. We talk a lot about teams' DNA. It's not their DNA. 22.5 points per game is the worst for the Chiefs since 2014. They've only scored more than 21 points once since week 6. They're 4-0 this year in four games where they score more than 22 points. They outscore people. They are an offensive team. So to rely on defense is just not, it's not the DNA that they have. And it is concerning, because last year we were genuinely concerned. What is this offense going to look like without Tyreek Hill? We got an answer. Well, they're kind of running it back again with this, with the same kind of questions, only this year it's actually hurting the offense. Patrick Mahomes was not the issue last night. You showed the miscommunications. We know about the drops. You've got fumbles. And when your best player, on, other than Patrick Mahomes, is costing you in that way, yeah, you really have no chance. Because, I mean, mostly Travis Kelce is excellent. Yeah. But if he's also going to be making that mistakes, game, it's really hard to overcome that. So I don't want to panic. Like, I don't want to judge one game and, you know, let everything devolve into madness. This is a great football team. They have the DNA of greatness. They have the coaching of greatness. They have quarterback play of greatness. Their defense is playing at a high level. They just need to sort out what's going on with the offense.
Here's my question, though. Should we be panicked? Because I wasn't until I heard your take. It wasn't one game. Based upon your take and the stats that you just presented, which are very eloquent, is the fact that the Eagles' offense is as bad as the Eagles' offense has been under Patrick Mahomes. So as I listen to you, the Chiefs' offense, yeah, as bad as it's been under Patrick Mahomes. So as I'm listening to you, I'm actually getting more and more panicked because I'm like, what is going to fix it? Trade deadline over. You can't acquire somebody via trade. Mm-hmm. Juju Smith, for as bad as he wasn't even bad last year, but as bad as we think he is in perception, he had, I think, 950 yards last year. He's not coming back. They tried to acquire Mecole Hardman. I ain't see him on the field, for whatever the case may be. So what can the Chiefs do, Shady? Should we be panicked? Because last year without Tyreek Hill, number one offense, yards, number one offense in points. This year, the difference can't just be Juju. It can't just be Juju.
Yeah. You know, I want to say he needs more weapons, right? But Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, they're that good where they can win with the offense they do have. Mm-hmm. There's no other quarterback in the league, in my opinion, I don't care who the quarterback is, that can go out there and be 7-3 with the Chiefs offense, with the skill players they have around them. No other quarterback can do that. But Patrick Mahomes can. And I think that one thing they could do better at, you could correct fumbles. Mm-hmm. You can correct drop passes. Mm-hmm. Those things you can correct. And I think that it's got to get, I don't know what it is, it's going to click eventually. The way they're winning games is not the typical Chiefs way of winning. But they are winning. I think that having a coach like Andy Reid, who's the best coach in football, right? They have a culture there, a winning culture. Mm-hmm. That when you get there, it's like the Eagles at the door, we're all trying to win. They'll be better. You know, they didn't play really well last night, and they almost won that game. So I think the Chiefs would be better. I just think that they have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. He can win at any given moment.
They'll be better, but will they be Super Bowl better? For the Chiefs, it's about Super Bowls. Literally have a ring with the Chiefs. No other analyst on national television doing a daily show can say that. So you know exactly what it takes for a Kansas City Chiefs team to win a Super Bowl. Will they be Super Bowl better? Mm. That's my question, because nobody is walking into the door to fix the Chiefs. Yeah. Now, they might have enough. If Kelce don't fumble in the red zone, that might be enough. Yeah. If MBS catches that ball, that might be enough. But I do think it's fair to say the Chiefs don't have the margin for error that they used to have.
This is my thing, though, man. Like, looking at the Chiefs this year and last year, they are struggling this year. But, I mean, if you look at the skill position, well, it's the same. I mean, you talked about Juju. Juju was okay. He was all right. But he wasn't that big of a player to, like, miss him that much.
But he looks like one. Because think about it. Tell me this. Educate me. I'm not trying to educate me.
Okay.
Why then, given the fact that Watson is still there, Pacheco's still there, he's a second-year player, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still there, Travis Kelce is still there, Mecole Hardman is now still there, MVS. Still, right. Given all of that, why are the Chiefs not number one in points, which they were last year? Mm-hmm. Now I think they're 14th. Why are they not number one in yards, which they were last year? Now I believe they're 8th. Then what is it? If it's not just Juju, what is it?
Well, first of all, in football, everything ain't going to be perfect every year.
Of course.
It's not going to be like that, right? This team is a good team. It's 7-3 for a reason, right? We can't talk about them like they're just the bottom of the crop team. They're not. They had a bad game, and they lost. They're 7-3. Never, the goal was never to be undefeated.
Of course.
And I think going forward, because even small things like Travis Kelce in the clutch, he's a clutch player. Yep. I want the ball in his hands. Andy Reid wants the ball in his hands. He fumbled last night and had a critical drop on some of the third downs.
Yeah.
Right? But that's not Travis Kelce. So my thing is, like, they have to get better, like every other team, just that we look at them in a different light because who they are and the things they accomplished. But they still have the best coach in football. They still have the best quarterback in football.
Is that enough?
Yes, enough.
Is that enough?
Yes. They. If we feel like the Philadelphia Eagles are the best team in football, now we all can agree on that, right?
Yes.
Thank God. My man, hello? Okay, thank you. You, because sometimes you with the Cowboys, you be with the Niners.
I'm with the Niners, bang, bang.
Oh, but
okay. I think the Eagles.
My thing is, so having the best coach, the best quarterback, and then the best culture, we still have that. And then our defense is actually playing really, really well last night. Mm-hmm. That's the first time I've seen the Eagles struggle against a pass rush like that. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the Eagles struggle against
that.
They did. So my thing is, yes, they lost this game. Cool. It's not the end of the world. Let me ask y'all this. Since we're talking about the Chiefs as in we're so worried or panicking, If they make it to the Super Bowl, you guys will not be surprised, right?
No.
That's what I'm saying. So this is still the Chiefs. They just got to get it together. We need them role players to start stepping up, catching the ball. And that's one thing you can correct. You can't correct bad attitude, bad habits, and bad energy and bad effort. You can't correct that. But you correct the drop pass, right? I don't know. Now Scanlon, he kind of, his hands is bad. But everybody else, you can correct that. You correct fumbles. I'm sure Wednesday, because today they'll have like a meeting about everything. But Wednesday, they'll go over how to protect the ball. They have all them drills. And there'll be like an emphasis on that. Let's protect the ball. Let's catch the ball. All them type of things.
Quick question.
For who?
For you.
Okay. I got it, Slim.
Because I know you were there when Eric Bieniemy was there. Does this have anything to do with Eric Bieniemy not being there? How big of a role did he have in this?
Now, one thing I will say about Eric Bieniemy that I give him some credit on is he was big on all the small things, like, you know, protecting the ball, tucking the ball, hustling, all them type of things, catching the ball over and over again. He was big on them type of things, all the small details. As far as the offense of how it looks, because I've seen a lot of they were comparing the Washington Commanders, you know, offense with the Chiefs, and you can't do that just because, I mean, the skill positions is way different. Patrick Mahomes had them boys over there. I mean, thank God the Eagles, we probably wouldn't win that game last night. So my thing is just, I think Airbnb had a good thing as far as the discipline. I think one thing that he's good at is everybody's going to be accountable, and he's big on all the small things. He wants that done. So that probably had a little effect.
Let's talk then about the Super Bowl shine, Joy, because the Chiefs obviously won the Super Bowl last year, but five straight AFC championship games, they don't look as dominant. They just don't. They still win in 7-3, but they don't look as dominant as they did last year when they were slapping boys around, including the Super Bowl, when they scored 38 points to win against the same Eagles defense that was actually better last year than it is this year. Is the Super Bowl shine off the Chiefs?
Nope. No, it's not. It's not. This, Shady just asked it. They're one of the very few teams that if we said we knew that they were going to be in the Super Bowl because we fast forward to February, then the Super Bowl, absolutely no one is surprised. If you had to pick a team right now, you have to pick a team. You got to put your house on a team that's going to be in the Super Bowl this year.
In it or win it?
I'm sorry. Win the Super Bowl.
Then I'd go. That's then cool. I'd go in it, I'd probably go Eagles. If I had to put my house.
Your house?
I'd probably go Eagles over the Chiefs. I think so. Eagles only got to beat the Niners to me. Chiefs
okay,
got to beat
fine. Them. Either way, the next choice would probably be the Chiefs. Like, they're still there. So let's
putting the small house up, not the big one.
My point is that who has been dominant this year? Who has you been go. Dominant against, let me be specific because people like to get very excited and send me these, you know, these messages. Who has been dominant against other good teams this year? Against other good teams. Dominant.
Niners. That's it.
We beat three top teams.
Texas. But she's a dominant.
Dominant.
She's a dominant. That's why I said Niners.
I don't think nobody really.
Well, let's be honest about this year. That we have not seen a super high level quarterback play really all year.
Nope.
With the exceptions of a few games here and there.
Yeah.
Nothing has been consistent.
Yeah.
No, there's no offense that can from start to finish is it can come out and just say we them boys. All right. Like nobody can do that. Not against the good teams. Sometimes against the bad teams. Nobody's been consistent like that this year. Everyone is sort of right here. Just there's bubbling right here. And then there's here, and anything could change. So if you're asking me if the Super Bowl shine is off, absolutely not, because just because there's more parity this year and they feel like they've come back to the pack, they still have, like Shady said, the best quarterback in the league. They still have the best coach in the league, and their defense is playing at a high level. So while their margin for error may not be as great because people have felt like they've pulled closer, they still have the knowledge of how to win. They have greatness in the building. They have greatness in their DNA. So I can't sit here and say the Super Bowl, like, shine is off. How? If their Super Bowl shine is off, who got Super Bowl shine on them other than the Eagles?
I don't know that anybody does. James, answer me this. Mm-hmm. Is it fair, in 2-5, I think you played against this team, is it fair for me to feel about the Chiefs how I felt about the Seahawks in, like, 2015-16? Remember, the Seahawks in 13-14, you was like, oh, God, Richard Sherman, Cam. Earl Thomas, Bobby Wagner in their prime. Mm-hmm. You had Bruce Irvin up front. You had one of the Bennett brothers.
Yep.
Martellus or Mike, maybe Michael.
Yep.
You had Michael Bennett. I was like, God, dog. But then by about 16, you're like, wait a second now. This ain't that same Legion.
Yeah.
This ain't that same Legion that went to two states. Nah, this ain't them.
Mm-hmm.
Because some cats was up out of there, some cats is hurt. This ain't that same squad. That Super Bowl shine, this ain't them. Is it fair to say that about the Chiefs? Like, hold on a second now. This ain't the same Travis Kelce. This ain't the same. Oh, Tyreek Hill ain't there.
Yeah.
Is it fair to feel as though this Chiefs team ain't that Chiefs team? Last year, they were 14-3.
Yeah.
This year, they're 7-3. Same amount of losses through 10 games as they had through 17 games. Yeah. Is that a fair assessment?
It's not.
Okay.
You know why? Because it's one person at the Legion of Boom and everybody ain't having. That's 15. And that's Patty Mahomes. So whenever he is under center, the shine is bright because he can beat anybody in the National Football League at any time. You know, like we're watching that game in the first half of that game. I was thinking to myself, the Eagles ain't as good as the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, the Chiefs finna run away with this thing in the first half. I'm like, they not as good. They scored 10 points in like 3 minutes. I'm like, they finna run away with this thing. And then the Eagles came out in the second half and buckled down. But Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback. So that means the shine ain't never going nowhere until this young fella retires. Point blank, period. He is going to make everybody around him better. Yes, does it suck that these receivers have almost 30 drops, you know, over the course of the season? Sure, but Patrick Mahomes has showed us with our own two eyes that he can overcome anything and everything in this league and get his team to that Super Bowl and not just get them there, but win it. So it'll always be shine. I will never question Patrick Mahomes strictly because of what he's done in the National Football League.
Always gets active when you start talking, James.
Yeah, Simbler, chill out.
Shady, final question. I got the same question for everybody on the desk, 2-5. If the game is played again, Shady, Eagles or Chiefs, like when you leave that game, do you leave that game feeling more confident than the Eagles would win or the Chiefs would win if and when they see each other again?
You asked me from watching the game?
Yes, sir. After watching the game, are you like, if a game's played again, where would you put your money?
That's a tough question. That's a good question, actually. You know, watching the game, I felt like both teams didn't really play well, right? But the one thing about the Eagles that caught my eye is that it's how they finished the game. Yeah, we played terrible in the first half. Let's buckle down. Let's get this thing together, right? When they needed turnovers, they got them. They needed a big play, right? Jalen Hurts wasn't great all game, right? But what impressed me is that, okay, he stayed poised.
Yeah.
I got you. Then he gave it to us. Boom. Devontae Smith down the sideline. So they showed me a lot, man, how to find a finish the game. But on the other side with the Chiefs, it's like, yo, if they catch the ball and do all the small things, right, not even the big stuff, but the small things, it's a different game. So that's really a hard one. I think it'll be the same way it was in the Super Bowl. You know, it might bounce away for the Eagles, might bounce away for the Chiefs. It's in the middle for me.
Yeah, I feel the same way. This team, both of these teams know how to win games.
Yes.
And it really is just going to come down to who makes the biggest play. And that's what it came down to in the Super Bowl, and that's what it came down to last night. Because it really wasn't that game was a reflection of how most of everyone has looked this year. That was not a dominant performance by either side. The Eagles just found a way to win that game. And sometimes the Chiefs do that as well. So
it's a coin flip.
It is, because these are the two best teams in the NFL.
So then, full circle, James. I was going to say, full circle then, because the first question I asked y'all when we came on camera was,
I agree.
Eagles.
I agree. I'm tripping, right? Yeah, I'm right. Yeah, Eagles going to win. I'm tripping. He doesn't check me like, hey, boys, you crazy. I came over for you, and you acting like that?
You're right. I came outside. Eagles going to win.
That's how you check your homie when he tripping. And I was going the same way. I'm going Eagles. When I was watching that game last night, and you guys did a really good job up there, who was your X factor?
Devontae Smith.
Come on.
I'm a bad boy.
As I was watching the game, I'm like, dang, okay. They took A.J. Brown away. Whether you want one-on-one coverage, whether you send in safety help, they took him out of the game, right? Who showed up? Devontae Smith when the game was on the line. Who else balled? The other Swift, right? So I just think watching that game, the Eagles have more. And I said it yesterday, too. Jalen don't got to play his best football because he has more. And that was clear watching the game that the Eagles have more. Devontae Smith, two big catches. One he made on the third down, and the other one he made to put him down on the one-yard line, and then the tush push comes.
Holla if you hear me.
The Eagles just have more. Eagles got more,
and it is fair to say the Slim agrees.
That's
that right, Slim?
What an Eagle sounds like, Shane.
Shit, now I respect that. Why y'all ain't check me like that?
You right.
You knew I was tripping.
You're right. Slim got him in check. When we return, it appears that Mike Tomlin has got his offense in check because the first time since 1941, the Pittsburgh Steelers fired a coach in the middle of the season. History made in Pittsburgh. They realize they're trying to make a playoff and Super Bowl push. They have to get the OC Matt Canada up out of there.
Holla if you hear me.
Slim ready for it.
Where my dogs at?
Check us out every day, Fox Sports Channel, Sirius XM.
Where my Eagles at?
Be right here, dog.
All right, family, let's get to second and short. It's our second topic of the day, but the most urgent one, the Bills. The Steelers, they fired their offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, just moments ago. The offense has been atrocious. Kenny Pickett, however, he might be getting a pass because he has been equally bad. Only threw for 106 yards, no touchdowns, and the Steelers lost to the Browns. Steelers lost to Dorian Thompson-Robinson and the Browns on Sunday. Now, the most crazy statistic you might hear, the Steelers have not fired a coach in season since 1941. So this is unprecedented what we're witnessing in the National Football League with the Steelers. It's the most breaking news of the day. Joy, you are the resident Steelers fan. So tell me this, is Kenny Pickett getting a pass given how bad he has been, both statistically and with our eyeballs?
No, he's not getting a pass. Kenny Pickett is in the middle of his second year in the league. Yeah. So it's way too soon to say that he is fully responsible for anything that's going on with this offense. Y'all don't even want rookies to start year one. So he is nowhere near the level that he should be being held responsible solely for what's going on with the offense. As you mentioned, the Steelers are not a reactionary team. In fact, they're one of the least reactionary teams in the history of the NFL. They do not fire coaches. They do not panic. There was no way that they were going to look at the situation with Kenny Pickett and be like, yeah, let's bench him. We're going to move off of him. He doesn't have what it takes. He's been struggling. Yes, so has the offensive line. So has the offensive coordinator. We know that because Kenny Pickett hasn't looked great, and also we've heard from several players that they're unhappy with what's going on with the offense. There are a lot of statistics that we can get into to explain what's happened with the Steelers' offense this year, but despite all of that, they are still 6-4, they are still the seventh seed, and they're 1.5 games back from at the top of the division. So how would they be playing if their offense could get anything going? That's why this decision was made, because it was trending downwards. They have a young quarterback that they want to continue to develop. So they had to make this move. Will it end up being that Kenny Pickett is the issue? We will see. But one thing about the Steelers is they're going to see. They're not going to just panic and flip out and blame all of this on a young quarterback who is still developing.
Is it fair, though, to say that they've already seen enough? The reason I ask that is, let's just talk about some quarterbacks. I'll start elite. Joe Burrow in his second year was in a Super Bowl. Let's start elite. Patrick Mahomes, obviously, in his second year, Let's go next year. Carson Wentz in his second year started off 11-1, if I'm not mistaken. Kyler Murray in his second year MVP conversation. Lamar Jackson in his second year MVP conversation. Maybe I think he was a unanimous MVP in his second year. If you keep going, you got guys like Deshaun Watson in his second year. In their second year, we have seen quarterbacks show us enough, Dak Prescott included. By their second year, we've seen either their first year was really good or Justin Herbert, second year is really good. So 23 games, Brock Purdy, we know whether or not a quarterback is capable. Kenny Pickett, we're more than halfway through his second year, and for my money, with my eyes, I haven't seen him show me that he's capable. He got two running backs that are good. Shay, you know better than me. He got two running backs that are good. You got two receivers that are
three.
Good. You got three for him? All right, bet.
Three.
I'm going to say two, but if you're the receiver on the desk, if you want to call three, call three. You got three receivers that are good. So when I think about it, I'm like, 23 games, Joy, to me is just enough to say that Kit Pickett is getting a pass, because this has been awful. Bad. Canada is not good either. Yeah. Canada was not good either. But this has been bad.
Yeah.
But the offense has been bad.
Correct.
But they're still winning games. And last year, through week 8, they were averaging an NFL worst 15 points per game at a 2-6 record. Had the bye. And then from week 10 on, they went 7-2 and averaged 20.9 points per game. So it's like a complete turnaround. We cannot look at the entirety of what Kenny Pickett has done there and say that he has been absolutely terrible the entire time. He is struggling this year. We can see that with our eyeballs. We can see that statistically. But no one in the building feels it's solely his fault, or that's what we would be hearing. We're not hearing that from the locker room. We're not hearing that from Tomlin. We also know there are other issues. They're 31st in offensive line for pass blocking this year. That's like almost the worst in the NFL.
So Pickett, given what you know, and you know a lot about quarterbacks and what they do in their first or second year, given what you know and what you've seen from Hurts in his second year, Allen, Herbert, Deshaun, Baker, Kyler, Lamar, Burrow, Mahomes, Wentz, you have promise in Pickett.
Like, I think he's still developing. I don't know what he's going to become. But I know that the Steelers are not going to freak out and bail on their first-round pick that they are developing halfway through his second year in the league. They're just not going to do that.
Yeah, and I wouldn't put all the blame on Kenny Pickett. But I'm putting most of it on him. And the reason why is because
There ain't nobody up here at this table can say, ooh, I remember that game. That was a dime by Kenny Pickett. Nobody up here really can say that. So for me, I don't care about the wins. I don't care about the losses. I care about you looking the right way. Kenny Pickett is not seeing the football field the right way. He throwing back shoulders and his receiver is on top of the defender. There ain't nowhere to throw back shoulders to that. I don't care what play is called. What are you looking at? He has guys wide open in the football field that he's missing these throws, right? The Tennessee Titans game, I got a play to show you. The Tennessee Titans game, they was on the offensive coordinator about the plays he was calling. And he dialed up a play. As you can see, my man George Pickens coming across the field. Come on! Like, this a rookie throw. George Pickens gonna catch this football right here and run for 30 more yards. But this is the quarterback throwing this thing 5 yards over his head. And I'm not saying that that's all Kenny Pickett. But at the same time, you can't blame this all on the offensive coordinator. You got three really good receivers, man. You got Deontay Johnson, you got George Pickens, you got Allen Robinson, and you got two really good running backs, right? We just talked about Patty Mahomes. This young kid got help. And he's not making these dudes around him better. He's making these dudes around him worse. You know, and you can say play call and all you want. He misses a lot of throws and not a lot of tight window throws. A lot of wide open throws. And for me, yes, he possibly can get better, but he ain't seeing the field in the game the right way right now.
I'm going to say no. He's a young quarterback. He could be better. He's not playing well right now, but I think a lot of it has to do with just when your coordinator, and by the way, before I talk about the coordinator, even before this year, AB used to talk to me about this coordinator. He wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. I never heard anything positive about the coordinator that was there. So that's why they fired him. The Steelers don't do stuff like that.
Oh, no.
The head coaches, coordinators, they keep them for a long time because that's what they do. They're like one of them honest franchises. Yeah. So for them to get rid of him, that had to tell you something. That's one part. I never heard anything good about him as a coordinator. That's one. And then the other part is, you got to talk about confidence. You nitpicking about different plays, and you're right. That was a bad pass right there. But one thing about a young player, quarterback, or any position, when you don't feel confident, all the small things you should do great seems hard now because I've been there.
True. Mm-hmm.
Easy things, easy reads and holds. I might mess up because I'm not confident myself. And I think that if you look at young quarterbacks, what make them special when they are being successful is being put in a situation to win. A lot of these times when I'm watching these games, first of all, the offensive line is terrible. If you know anything about the Steelers, and I went to Pittsburgh University, so I know all about the Steelers. Their DNA for years and years and years, even when they had the AB and Le'Veon Bell era, we're going to play great defense, we're going to run the ball, and it's going to be a dogfight every game. When I watch them, that's not them. They can't run the ball, right? Najee Harris, what? You know what I'm saying?
Warren went crazy against the Browns.
Warren is a hell of a player.
He went crazy.
It's the reason why he started. But if you watch the last couple of games, they struggled to run the ball. They struggled to protect the quarterback.
But ain't none of that changing, though.
Hold on. We don't know that. So we get a play call in there and different plays. So when you're struggling on different positions, a coach is supposed to make it easy for us. Okay, we can't block this. Let's do something different. That's how it works.
So my thing is,
before we judge Kenny Pickett like we do him, because he's not playing well. Yeah, I can say that. But to give him all of the blame for it, I can't do that.
Let's be real. Let's have an honest conversation at this desk. Kenny Pickett probably shouldn't be a starter for the Steelers. Joy, you know better than most. Ben Roethlisberger holds that team hostage every year. He held them hostage. Am I retiring? Am I not retiring? Am I retiring? Am I not retiring? Shady, you know now better than most. Kenny Pickett went to Pitt. He using that Steelers locker room. He in the Steelers facility. And then remember that quarterback draft class. You got Sam Howell, Desmond Ritter, Malik Willis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what you expect them to do? Yeah. So Ben Roethlisberger's holding them hostage, so they don't know what they're going to do with the quarterback. Are we going to get one in trade? No, can't do that. Yeah. Now you're at the draft. The best prospect is a Kenny Pickett, who shouldn't really be a first-round pick. He goes at the latter half of the first round, because who else are you going to draft?
Yeah.
Howell or Ritter or Malik Willis? So if we're also just being honest, yes, he was a first-round pick because he was drafted there, but I don't know that he's a first-round talent. I think he's getting some of that Zach Wilson benefit of the doubt. He's not as bad as Zach Wilson. Do not mishear me. But he's getting some of that first-round pick benefit of the doubt that I don't think he has earned based upon his play.
So, let me ask you this, though. Okay, since we doing this thing, right, because Kenny Pickett, he deserves majority of the blame on offense. Mm-hmm. But we look at them. So I talked about the offensive line. I can't remember the Steelers having a bad offensive line. That's their thing. Najee Harris is a first rounder, right?
Yeah, first rounder. 22 overall.
Is he playing like a first round running back?
No, he's not.
Warren went, what, four, fifth round?
Yeah, Warren's like maybe fourth.
And now he's starting, so like we gotta, if we're going to do this, let's look at the whole picture. Mm-hmm. Our first round running back is not playing like a first round running back. Our offensive line is just looking like the 31st best offensive line in football, because that's what they are.
Yeah.
It's only 32 teams for America, just so you know that. So they're almost last. They're one spot from being last. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the wide receivers, right? So you talked about the wide receivers. So Deontay Johnson's really, really good.
Good.
He just came back from injury, like two games or something like that. So he's getting
back for a minute.
A little bit, right? Two, three games. Okay. He's getting back. I think that the best wide receiver you say is George Pickens.
Yeah. George is number one.
So George is number one. So then I'm looking at the wide receiver core, like you keep talking about. I was like, who they really got at wide receiver like that? That demands the ball, that should be getting the ball all the time.
Boys is good.
I'm hearing what you're saying. When I watch him, I think that Deontay is a really, really good receiver. And I think George Pickens is the number one. But I say, collectively, when I get the offense, I don't think it's a really good offense.
Allen Robinson is an excellent third receiver. He has weapons.
They throwing him around everywhere in the league. He was just on this team last year. He was on this team. I've been there. When that happens, it's time to move on.
Right.
All I'm saying is this. Yes, Kenny Pickett needs to be better. But I think some of that, even with the wide receivers I'm naming and the running backs, maybe that it needs to be the offensive coordinator to put these boys in easier situations.
We're going
to
find out.
I watch how the good games that Justin Fields has, right? I think he's limited, but he's a super athlete. When you watch the way they throw the ball with him, right, they make it – they help him out so much. Mm-hmm. Even Trevor Lawrence, we must as great as they want to act like he is, and he's not. If you watch the way that Doug Peterson calls an offensive game plan for him, he simplifies it. Mm. So that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that Kenny Pickett's not playing bad, because he is. But when you got a young quarterback and you got some good weapons around him, we need everybody to play really well, and we need the coordinator to put him in situations to win.
Yeah, and he's just too young to lay it on him right now. Like, maybe he isn't a first-round talent. Maybe he did only end up there because Ben Roethlisberger wouldn't retire or whatever, put them in a situation to not have the incumbent ready to go. It doesn't matter. The biggest picture to me is they're still winning games. So however bad he isn't so bad that they're losing. Gosh. Unlike some other teams that have way worse performances at quarterback, and it is costing them games, even though they do have great defenses and way better offensive pieces. The Jets, anyone?
Yeah.
Solid defense, top to bottom, top of the league. Would you say that the skill positions for the Jets are better
than the Steelers?
Than the Steelers?
No. The Steelers skill positions is way better than the Jets.
Than the Jets.
From top to bottom, two really good running backs, three really good wide receivers. From top to bottom,
I would disagree. Let's say they're equal, but I would disagree. I think that the Jets are better. But they're losing games, right? So, like, what I'm trying to say is he's playing bad. He does deserve some blame for playing bad. Right. He needs to play better. He's way too young of a player. If we're up here having conversations about rookies should not even start year one, then he is too young. It's midway through his second year to be saying that this is all his responsibility.
But what about, remember what we did with Justin Fields? Remember, and you know really well what we did with Tua. Like, I don't know, I would say, Joy, I would agree with you 10 years ago. 10 years ago when quarterbacks didn't have to be thrust into the starting limelight their first year, I would agree with you. But now, by Justin Fields' second year, we was on his head. Yeah. Second year was just last year. Tua's second year, you know better than anybody being tied in with the Miami media, on Tua's head. I don't know that 23 games in this NFL is still...
We can apply some nuance to the situation.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to just say Tua is the same situation as Kenny Pickett is the same situation as Zach Wilson's is the same situation. Like, there's nuance and things that are going on that we can say, okay, this is actually the quarterback's fault. They do have a great offensive line. They do have great running backs and great wide receivers and a great defense. So we can say this is specifically the coaching because they were great before this happened. Like, everything is not the exact same situation. I'm not saying Kenny Pickett doesn't deserve some blame. He does. What I am saying is we're asking, is he getting a pass? Probably, because he's a young quarterback. He's still developing. Everybody needs time. Tua needed time.
Yeah. But for me, though, I'm not saying give up on Kenny Pickett. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying bench Kenny Pickett and give up on Kenny Pickett. But Kenny Pickett deserves a lot of this. Kenny Pickett is not seeing the football field the right way with a lot of the weapons that Kenny Pickett has around him. You're talking about 23 games, 13 touchdowns, 13 picks. That's not seeing the game the right way. And, yes, a new offensive coordinator may come in there and make it real simple on him, but a lot of these throws is real simple that he's not making. I'm not saying give up on him because I believe
believe the Pittsburgh Steelers were trying to protect him because you brought in Trubisky and you wanted Trubisky to be the starter.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Even though you drafted him as a first rounder, you wanted Trubisky to be a starter for the young fella to grow. They knew he needed some time to grow. Trubisky got hurt. He had to come up in there like he a first rounder. Let's let him go right now. So I think they need to give him more time.
At what cost?
That's what I'm saying.
At what cost?
At what cost? I mean,
because real quick, let me conclude my thought, then take us home to break 2-5. The reason I say at what cost is AFC is wide open this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's wide open. Burrow's hurt. Aaron Rodgers hurt. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson hurt. The Steelers' last game was against Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Next game is against Jake Browning, Cincinnati Bengals. Then Kyler in his third game off an ACL. Then Mac Jones. Then Gardner Minshew. Then Jake Browning again. Then you see Seattle Seahawks and you see the Baltimore Ravens. Keep playing Kenny Pickett if you want to. Don't bench him. I agree. You can't bench him. But I'm just saying, like, if the Steelers mess around and miss the playoffs this year with no Deshaun and no Burrow.
But you're saying at what cost, but then you're saying don't bench him. So at what cost, what do you do?
That's the dilemma, I think.
But there is no answer. Like, you, this is what you chose to do. You chose to make Kenny Pickett your starter. You have no choice. What are you doing? You're going to go to the backup? No, you're not going to do that.
I'm done.
when we return, we'll talk about a quarterback who's playing at the highest level, Jalen Hurts, 27-3 in his last 30 games as a starter. But how impressive was Hurts yesterday? Find out next on Speak.
Slim's back.
Hey, as you can see, Slim is back in the building, and he iced up. You know what I'm saying? Now Slim, he got the S on his neck. Shout out to 2-5. Shady had him icy. Bring us on camera, please, because you can understand why Eagles are happy right now. Eagles got another dub. Jalen Hurts, 14-1 in his last 15 games. We are in third in long, family, and we got to talk about it. It was the biggest game of the season. It was a Super Bowl rematch. Eagles down by 10 at the half. The biggest pass of the game, Jalen Hurts found Smitty down at the 1-yard line. Eagles tush push. They get it in. Eagles win. Eagles get a win. Slim is in the building. But Shady, Jalen Hurts, he made enough plays to win. But statistically, wasn't that great? 14, I think, of 22. No touchdown passes. One pick. But how impressive was he to – oh, see, he nice.
Yeah.
He nice.
I mean, you start talking that bull about my boy. You know what I mean? Changing things. All diamonds. VVS. I see you.
How impressive was Jalen Hurts to you?
He's very impressive. I mean, one thing about Jalen Hurts, he wins games. And we can always just argue about stats, touchdowns, yards, first down. We can do all that. But the main stat is winning. We went to Arrowhead. Spent a lot of money on that change. A lot of diamonds over there. Anyway, we playing at Arrowhead is hard to win at, right? And it's the Chiefs. Ain't no regular team. It's the Chiefs. And we beat them. When Jalen Hurts had to be special and impressive, he was. Right? And you know how you start that game. I don't care how you start that game. There's some dudes that start. I'll give you an example. Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. He always balls out stats-wise, right? Mm-hmm. Stats this, stats that, touchdowns. Do whatever you want. Yards. But they don't win the game. When the ball's in his hands at the end of the game, he loses. Mm-hmm. And my guy, with all that money he got, I'm going to deliver. I'm going to give you results. And when we needed him, you don't like the ice? Ice is what make you alive. Yeah,
I don't think he's feeling it.
Yeah, we gotta get him some. I should get him a chain.
You should get him like he, you know, maybe fake. Like here.
Yeah, I'm gonna
get him. Maybe he would do better with like a bracelet.
I need that one back though. Yeah, I call me some bread. I need that one back. I forget what I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Your guy, ball in the hands, he delivers. That's what you were saying.
At the end, that's what it is.
Yeah. Where you at on it, James? Jalen Hurts, was he impressive? Because if we're being honest, compared to the Super Bowl statistically, this game did not do what that game did. But the Eagles still got the W. But many could say Eagles got the W because of their defense. Mm-hmm. You could also say Eagles got the W because of an MVS drop. Yeah. So it's not necessarily fair to say that the Eagles won because of Hurts.
Yeah.
Were you impressed?
Well, I was, because the only thing that matters was the last drive. That's the only thing that matters in that game. The last time Jalen Hurts had the ball in his hands, he went down and he scored a touchdown. I don't know if they know, but when he got that ball with 5 minutes left in the game, they were losing,
mm-hmm.
right? It was 17-14. They were losing that football game.
So if you hear me,
the ball is in his hands, and he goes down there, and third and five, He rolls right a little bit, and he finds Devontae Smith over the middle, right? Then it's go ball to Devontae Smith, Shady's X-Factor, down to the one-yard line, tush push. I don't care how the game looked the first three quarters. When the game was on the line and the ball was in his hands, which we said it would, come down to a one-possession game, whichever quarterback gonna make those plays, right? And Jalen Hurts made those plays. So I don't care if he threw for 99 yards. They was on that last drive, and he got his team the W. Very impressive.
Yeah, he's very impressive. People need to divorce the idea that Jalen Hurts needs to look a certain type of way to get these wins. He's had high statistical games. He's had games like this. It doesn't matter. The Philadelphia Eagles for the past 2 years have had the same style of play. Just win the game. Figure it out. It doesn't have to be Jalen Hurts' biggest day. It doesn't have to be A.J. Brown's biggest day. Sometimes you win by the defense. Sometimes you win by special teams. That's how they're designed. And Jalen Hurts has to make the play when they ask him to. It's very rare that we say Jalen Hurts cost them a game, correct?
Yeah. Very
but we say all the time Jalen Hurts made the one play that will win them the game.
That's what
you wanna do. We need to just rewire how we look at Jalen Hurts. He is good enough to win games. He can play at a super high level. He can play just okay, and they still find ways to win because they are overall a great team. They have great pieces. Devontae Smith had to make that catch. He had to get it there for him. They're a great team, and Jalen Hurts is the leader of that great team. And the measure of a great team is when you keep trying, you keep playing at a high level. You don't get discouraged because you're down at the half. You don't start pushing. You make great plays. You do what you do, which is exactly what the Eagles did, and you win the game against a great opponent, against the best team in the AFC going into this weekend, against a team that beat you in the Super Bowl. I think it's very impressive. We love drama, okay? We love four touchdown games. We love no interceptions. We love a long run. We love all those exciting things. But do you love that or do you love winning? Because I understand for some quarterbacks, we have a different standard. Like, we want to see you have a big performance. Yeah. But that's because we haven't seen them have the big performances. Right. We have seen this with Jalen Hurts. So, yes, it is impressive.
Is Jalen Hurts elite and does it matter whether he is or not? Because as y'all were sitting here and talking, I was asking myself, I'm like, is Hurts elite? Right? When I think about the games that Jalen Hurts has played this year, nothing wows me. Mm-hmm. The record? Wow. 14-1 last 15 games. 18-20 last 20 games. 18-2 last 20 games. 27-3 last 30 games. The record is astonishing. But then when you look at the game, nothing really takes your breath away. Pass to Smitty, great pass. Pass to Smitty again versus the Dallas Cowboys, great pass. But I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, Jalen Hurts this season, he's not wowing me. But then I'm like, should I even care? Does it even matter? Because at the end of the day, the Eagles have been healthier than not. And when the Eagles are healthy and Jalen Hurts is out there, the Eagles win. But then I'm like, but couldn't I say the same thing about Brock Purdy? Then I had to ask myself, is it crazy to think that thought? James Jones taught me through this ideology of, like, the Eagles have been healthy.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts has been balling. Mm-hmm. And when the Eagles are healthy, Jalen Hurts balls and the Eagles win like nobody else. Does it matter whether or not he is elite?
He's an elite quarterback. And yes, it matters that he's elite, but when you're an elite quarterback, you go on drives like you just did in the fourth quarter. When you're an elite quarterback, you go on drives like you did to win the Washington Commanders game. When you're an elite quarterback, the teams that they say the best teams in the National Football League, you say, come on, and you beat those teams. The Miami Dolphins, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Dallas Cowboys, whoever it may be. You know, that is an elite quarterback. If we were sitting here saying, okay, Every time I talk, he turn up.
But it's true.
Every time I talk, he do turn up.
It is true.
So when you talk about elite quarterbacks, if we said we're going to take off 20 of Justin Herbert's touchdowns and 5,000 of his yards, and we're going to replace that with 15, 20 wins, mm-hmm. he will be in the elite quarterback conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We call Joe Burrow elite. We see Joe Burrow make plays, but a lot of these plays ain't crazy. But Joe Burrow wins. And he showed you since he's got to Cincinnati, if he's on the football field, we are going to win. That is elite.
Let me ask you this. The reason I usher Joe Burrow into the conversation mm-hmm. is not just because he wins, but we know that Joe Burrow has won when it was bad.
Yep.
I got sacked 70 times. Offensive line, bottom three in the league.
Sound like last night with Hurts?
Sure. but over the course of Hurts' is winning.
Yeah.
Offense been healthy. Dallas Goedert got banged up this year. Dallas Goedert got banged up last year. Over the course of Hurts' winning, defense been healthy, and defense has been good. Players out there. Yeah. Players. First round picks. All pros. I'm just wondering, like, does this ever come to an end?
Does what ever come to an end?
The Eagle, like, Jalen Hurts is 27-3.
Jalen Hurts was an all pro last year. Was he not?
I thought it was.
Is that hard to do? I thought it was hard to do.
When you say come to an end, though, you mean like him winning football games?
Yeah, like if it hurts. Yeah. If it is hurts.
But it is Hurts. Because we got the gift last year of seeing them without Hurts.
So that's my thought process. Like, is Hurts just gonna keep on, or is it Smitty's gonna have to get paid and eventually he's gonna be out of there, and then what? Kind of like we're thinking about Burrow. Mm-hmm. What happens when T. Higgins is gone?
Yeah.
We're like, eventually this next year, the Eagles are gonna have to make those decisions. Remember, Bradberry came back for the cheat. He could have left.
Yeah.
Is Hurts just going to, is he carrying the team? I guess I'm kind of talking through that in real time.
I don't think anyone's carrying this team. I think everyone's playing their role at the highest level, and it's all contributing to winning. Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback. We know that because last year he was the second best quarterback in the league. He was runner-up for MVP, and he was an all-pro, and they played in the Super Bowl against the team that they played last night, who has the best quarterback in the league. So everyone's contributing. A.J. Brown is contributing to the wins this year, we would say, because he's in the MVP conversation. He's not going to win it, but he's in the MVP conversation. The defense is a crucial part of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I would say their offensive line is a crucial part of what they're doing. Their running game, Jalen Hurts' leadership, the coaching. Like, I don't look at this Eagles team and say this is the one player that's making sure they win games. But if you have to, you would have to go with the quarterback who touches the ball the most, who is the leader, who makes the plays in the biggest moments. Two of the three biggest plays yesterday were because of Jalen Hurts.
And to be honest with you, though, he is the reason. Because last year, this defense was balling. Way better than they balling this year. And they were winning. And everybody's saying, well, Jalen Hurts has all this around him. He has this. All that's true. Right? This year, the defense ain't playing well. Right? Jalen Hurts won them Washington Commanders games. It was 30-something to 30-something. Ball in his hand at the end of the game to go down and score a touchdown. But this season, the wins that they have, it was a lot of Jalen Hurts making the play and making the throw.
2-5, what would the dialogue have been? Because you've been on both sides of it. What's the dialogue? I'll ask you this. MBS catches a ball. Had nothing to do with Jalen Hurts, mm-hmm. that MBS dropped it. MBS catches a ball. Chiefs win.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts stat line, 14-22, no touchdowns, one interception, and two tush-push touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken. This dialogue, in my mind, wouldn't be the same. We'd be looking at the exact same stat line and the exact same game on the exact same film.
He ran in one of the touchdowns.
Who did?
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, he did a quarterback draw.
So a quarterback draw and a tush-push touchdown. We'd be looking at the exact same game, and I don't know if we would be sitting here saying, yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts is just like that. He just finds a way to win because an MBS drop. So what do you think it's just so interesting how the dialogue changes because of a drop. What do you think the dialogue would have been?
That's football.
Yeah.
I mean, they say this game was a small margin of inches. So, I mean, I can't do the what-if game, but, I mean, I just look at this as if he caught that pass, they had 1 minute and 50 seconds left.
Yeah. Yeah. Hurts goes down and scores.
Come on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for me, though, I don't think we would be bashing Jalen Hurts, because I think Jalen Hurts would have got up there like, look, man, I got to do better. Blah, 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 stat line ain't good enough to beat Patrick Mahomes. But we wouldn't be saying, oh, this Eagles team is done or Jalen Hurts is done, can't win.
Yeah, they're still,
the dude is proven that he's a winner, man.
Can we take a look at the Eagles Mount Rushmore before we get out of here? You know, just talking about some of the greats in Philly, just the Philly Mount Rushmore, if we have it. You see a little Rocky.
Oh, Slim is up there.
You see Shady, you see Gay and Hurts. We got two of the Philly Mount Rushmore.
You Slim? I see you Slim.
Oh, Slim.
Slim co-signs everything Jay's is saying today, you know though. He's like at the Church of Jay's.
I'm about to put my chain on my dog, man. He got to be, you have a chain on.
Maybe we give him some rings, you know?
He got Super Bowl rings. What he want?
That's it. Well, Slim, you keep winning. You'll keep being in the studio. When we return, who is the best team in the NFL right now? It is time to talk about your team. Where do they stack up? It's the power rankings. Best teams in football. Where my Eagles at? You already know what that means. More speak after this. All right, family, it is time for a pick six, the craziest year in the NFL. A team is great one day, they're bad the next. So who are the best six teams in football? Let's take a look. I ain't going to keep you waiting any longer. At number six, how about them Cowboys? The last two games, they have smashed their opponents once again, beating the Panthers 33-10 in dominant fashion. I don't even know if they cared about the game. Shout out Jimmy Johnson, inducted into the Ring of Honor in December, announced before the game. Been waiting a long time for that one. At number five, after a loss last night, Kansas City Chiefs, y'all had to drop. Now, I get it. You're still 7-3, still number two in the AFC, but it's very muddied in there. A lot of teams are 7-3 or better, five to be exact in the AFC. That's why they're at my five. At number four, the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, they're the one seed currently in the AFC with 8 wins on the season. They look good. They look real good. Lamar Jackson and that defense, they're rolling. Defense great, Lamar great. You got to love it. At number three, the Lions. I never thought I would see the day that the Lions would be so dominant at a minimum by record, 8-2. They have been phenomenal offensively, and they find a way to win. At number two, y'all know what it is, bang, bang. Since the Niners are healthy, they are dominant. I would suggest two of the top five wins in football this season have come from the Niners. They beat the brakes off the Cowboys, went to Jacksonville and beat the brakes off of them. When that roster is full, when that roster is complete, and they are offensively right now, they are hard to beat. We will see what they do without Hufanga tore his ACL. And at number one, fly, Eagles, fly. It's real simple. Best team by record in football, and best team if you really want to talk about the consistency, the talent. Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, DeAndre Swift. They are elite right now and look poised to make it back to the Super Bowl. Those are the best six teams in ball right now, but I promise you one thing to be true. By next week, it'll change. All right, family, when we return, there's a lot of buzz going on in Houston with C.J. Stroud and the Texans. They're in the playoff picture, and it's their head coach's first year and a rookie quarterback. But are the Texans legit contenders? How good are they? Come back and find out next on Speak. Get this. If the season ended right now, the Texans, first-year head coach, first-year quarterback, would be in the playoffs. C.J. Stroud has two of the most impressive wins of the season. When you talk about the win over the Jags early on, they spanked them, and the win over the Bengals while the Bengals were streaking hot before Burrow got hurt. They're currently 6-4. They look very, very good. DeMeco Ryans, both a friend of mine, a friend of Shady, a former teammate of mine, and a leader that I have been around, he is leading this Texans team. I would say the Texans are legit contenders. We have seen them smack the Jags. The Jags are going to make it into the playoffs, at least as it stands right now. We saw them smack the Bengals while the Bengals were streaking hot. Yep. We have seen Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator, look like a seasoned veteran as an OC. I know Coach Slowick dating back to his days as a defensive analyst with the Washington Commanders. We've seen C.J. Stroud lead this team on comeback drives, both against the Titans, if I'm not mistaken, then the next week against the Bengals, if I am not mistaken, again, about the opponents. So we have seen them check the necessary boxes that need to be checked to prove legitimacy. I think they're legit. James, where do you stand?
100% they're legit. And you're right. You beat the Bengals coming off of a 3-game winning streak, beating the Niners, the Buffalo Bills, a really, really hot football team. Then you beat a solid Buccaneers team, right, where you got to score in 45 seconds. He had 45 seconds to go down the field and score a touchdown, and that's what he did. Then you beat the Saints, another team that's leading the division. Then you put up 30 on the Steelers. The Steelers have gave up 30 points twice this season, and week one against the San Francisco 49ers and the other time against the Texans. And then you beat the Jags. I truly believe that they have beaten some of the best teams in the National Football League and really have made it look easy because of the quarterback play. C.J. Stroud is really good. DeMeco Ryans is a really good coach. This team is a really good football team that we need to give them some respect, man.
Yeah, and this has been a consistent thing throughout the year for them. It's not like they're just having these moments and flashes. They're number four in total offense. They're number two in passing offense. With a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
They're 7th in third down offense, 10th in scoring offense, 10th in points per game differential, 8th in rushing defense. This is a legitimate team. They're tied for seven for the fewest giveaways this year with only 11. Again, with a rookie quarterback. So what they're doing is actually legitimate on both sides of the ball. They are legitimate contenders. I think they're probably the most legit of the wild card teams right now. Is this a team the way that they're playing, you'd want to face in the first round of the playoffs?
No, they playing with house money.
Yeah. Correct.
They ain't got nothing to lose.
And that part. Yeah. And that part. So, yeah, I think you have to look at them and consider them to be a serious team, because this is their resume reflects it, not just with the record and where they are in the standings right now, but as James said, with the teams that they're beating.
Mm-hmm. And another point is, even though they're playing this one under the sixth seed right now currently, but the rest of the season on the schedule, they only got two more teams that got good records. That's it. So they might bump up to more than just a sixth seed. I mean, I think D'Amico Ryan's doing a hell of a job down there. He's got these guys believing. They're putting numbers up. They're putting stats up. They're putting yards up. They're scoring touchdowns. And the best thing is they're stopping the run. Yeah. This team's a good team.
So then what would stop this team? That's my question.
You know what I would say?
What would stop them? Because I would be afraid of the Texans if I didn't have dogs. I think what the Texans will run out of, firepower.
Exactly.
Eventually, I just think they're going to step on the field, and the opponent's just going to have better players than them. Maybe not against the Jags, but they'll step on the field against the Ravens.
Yeah.
And when you step on that field, you're going to look across and see a Roquan Smith, see an All-Pro Marlon Humphrey, see a Kyle Hamilton, see a Lamar Jackson, see a Odell. And eventually, I think they'll run out of dudes. But, Shady, what will stop them?
See, I hear you, Nat. That's a great point. I just think that they've seen teams that's better than them.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think every other team is better than them. He's looking at roster-wise, but I think it's going to come down to experience, right? I think a young quarterback is doing really well. He has to have a bad moment because that's what rookies do, right? And I hate to say that, but that's what rookies do, right? Him, you got the wide receiver, Dale. Like, they're a young team.
Yeah.
So I think that the only thing that can stop them in the playoffs, it won't be the rosters. I think their roster is what it is, and they're playing really well. I think it'll be this experience, the maturity, right? All them things I think as a rookie, like, you know, preparing for a game at 5-6 years in the league compared to my first year is like, you know what I'm saying? You think I got time, I'm going to do my thing. But no, it's more than that. And I think that the only thing that can stop them probably is just the age and the youth. Because they got a good team. They're playing really, really well.
For me, I think it's just the consistency of having to win on the road. You know what I mean? With you being a sixth seed, I think it's the consistency of having to win on the road. I don't know if they have the talent of a complete team to go on the road and beat some of these good teams. You might have to go to Baltimore. You might have to go to Kansas City. You might have to go to Pittsburgh, right? Pittsburgh came. So I don't know necessarily you have the talent, but, I mean, they overcame three interceptions last week.
A young fella
threw three picks, and they still found a way to win. So that's signs of a good football team. Turning the ball over like that, still find a way to win. But I think it'll be tough on the road because that's really what they're going to have to do.
They overcame that, and they've had to go down, like you said, against the Bucs and score a touchdown, less than a minute left. Like, all the questions that we think we have of them, they've kind of answered. They've already beaten teams with better rosters than them. So I have to agree with Shade. I think it just is going to come down to experience. They're going to get up against a team in the postseason that has more experience than them. That's generally just what happens with younger teams. But all those other questions that we have, like, they've already answered them throughout the regular season so far. So
no, not to cut you off. So really quick, help me out. Is all they losses on the road?
They lost to the Panthers on the road. They lost to the Falcons on the road. They lost to the Colts at home.
They lost to the Colts at home.
Lost to the Colts at home. And it'll be fascinating because D'Amico will have them ready to play every single game.
But
game.
Shady's right, though. You look at the rest of their schedule.
All winnable.
Looks nice. All winnable.
Yeah.
And this will be a great, great game against Jacksonville.
Here's what's so crazy about the AFC. Throw that schedule back up there again, please. I think they're all winnable. But they're also all losable.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, people were saying last week that the Steelers should be favored in every game until their Week 18 game against Baltimore.
Yeah.
But then the Steelers just lost to Dorian Thompson-Robinson. So while I believe that the Texans can win the rest of their games, they could lose to Russ.
Yeah.
They could lose to the Browns.
They could lose against Jacksonville.
Of course. Like, Jacksonville, for sure, they could lose to. So the AFC is wild.
Yeah.
They're all winnable and simultaneously all losable.
No doubt.
Crazy to me. Well, it appears that Brock Purdy can't lose when his roster is healthy. That's what I have realized when Trent's out there, Debo, McCaffrey, and company. But after back-to-back dominant wins, has Purdy put all concerns to rest? It's going to be the best conversation of the day, and it's the next conversation of the day. Peace. All right, family, we are in our hurry-up offense. We got to hurry up and talk about Brock Purdy because the last two games have been special. Dominant win over the Jags, and then last game, statistically, maybe the best game of his career as they dominated the Bucs. Brock Purdy had the longest pass of the season to Brandon Ayuk, and once again, the 49ers roll. But, Shady, there are still a lot of questions about Purdy because when the Niners were on their three-game losing streak. Trent Williams wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Debo wasn't there. Brock Purdy did not look good.
Right.
But now that the players are back, Brock Purdy looks elite. Top three quarterback in football. That's how good he played the last two games. Do you still have any concerns about Brock Purdy?
I never really had no real concerns. I mean, other than Patrick Mahomes, any other quarterback, they don't have their one and two best players on offense. How well would they play? How good would they be? How good would that team be? Would they win? That's a question mark on a lot of these quarterbacks. Only person I can think of is Patty Mahomes. Other than that, I think every quarterback needs their top guys. And if they don't have them, they look different. And I think for Brock Purdy is more of the defense for me. I always said that, you know, the way that the Niners win games and their DNA is we're going to play defense first. We're going to get turnovers, great field position for our offense, stop the run, you know, play aggressive defense. And then we let our offense feed off the defense. When the defense was playing bad, you see what Brock Purdy looked like. That's what my take was on it. I mean, so offensively, if you don't have your players, you see what he looks like also. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's however you look at it, how you see it.
Do you not fear, though, that, say, Debo gets hurt, playoffs, first game, second play of the game?
Trouble.
That Brock Purdy, like, that's when we need Purdy to get them out of a jam, and Purdy can't do that. Say Trent goes down. Are you not like, yo, Purdy, when we need you, he won't be able to have it?
See, but that's why I always go back to the defense. Because if you even watch the last couple of games, the defense has been playing excellent.
Yep.
Right, so they're getting field position, better field position than they ever had before when they weren't playing good on defense. And then turnovers. Now that we don't have to see Brock Purdy try to force these passes in the middle or try to create these different plays for his team because our defense is playing that good where I don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. Right, and we can slow pace this game if we need to or we can fast pace it if our defense is making stops. So that's why I never would look at as far as Brock Purdy and what he looks like because let's be honest about this. He went last pick in the draft for a reason, right? And when I say that, I mean, like, as when I scout players, when they get drafted, his talent level, right, arm strength and all those type of things don't jump out to you, mm-hmm. right? But I would say for him is his poise, his attitude, his toughness, like, things like that I think we praise. His timing on different passes, right? His confidence. Things like that I would give him that love to. But as far as, like, the super talented part, I'm sure we can name a lot of quarterbacks more talented.
Of course, no doubt.
That's why I'm saying you need the defense to do what they do best. Let's stop this run. Let's get turnovers. Let's get our offense in the best situation to win games. Because that's what Kyle Shanahan has been with the Niners since day one.
Joy, he put all concerns to rest after these last two dominant performances.
Yeah, because of everything Che just said. If things are going well, if the defense is playing at a high level, if he has his guys, we already know what he can do. Now, can he do any of that without any of them? I don't think so. And because he didn't just lose. He looked bad while losing when those guys weren't out there. Now, maybe Patrick Mahomes was the only one that could overcome that. You're probably right. If you were missing that many guys and the defense was playing terrible, you probably aren't going to be able to look great. I would have liked him to look a little better during that stretch of losses, but he is still a young quarterback and he's going to continue to develop and he may move past that where he can overcome that type of adversity or some of that adversity. But yeah, I mean, he's their guy and we know what he can do when they're playing at a high level.
James, asking you a different question. Then is the representative of the Super Bowl out of the NFC going to come down to which quarterback's offensive roster is healthiest? If no other quarterback can kind of carry an offense if they're without their first or second best player, are we simply saying it's going to come down to a game of health for the offense? Or do you think that Purdy's good enough to maybe do it now?
Well, no, I don't think Purdy's good enough to do it because Purdy ain't showed us he can do it. When these dudes weren't healthy, Purdy looked like a seventh-round quarterback, the last pick in the draft quarterback, turning the football over, throwing interceptions to where we like, where is he even looking at going with the football? He did not look the right way because he couldn't dump these screens down to set up these play-action passes and all that. So from that standpoint of it, no. Jalen Hurts has shown me it don't matter. It don't matter if we up. It don't matter if it's ugly. It don't matter what it is. Ball in my hands. I'm going to go down there and make a play to win a football game. Brock Purdy has not shown us that when everybody is not healthy. Jalen has won games any and every way. You know what I'm saying? And Jalen has won more games and been further. So for me, I think this is all about the Philadelphia Eagles. But the Niners, no. If it ain't perfect, there's no need to believe in Brock Purdy because he's shown us the three games it wasn't perfect. He played extremely bad football.
Jalen Hurts won games without his top weapons?
Yeah, Jalen Hurts has won games without top. I mean, he without Dallas Goedert. I mean, he's been without a lot of top weapons.
We're going to talk about that one later. Mm. All right, when we return, Slim made an epic return to the show after the Eagles got some revenge. We got to recap Slim's visit. If you missed the Eagle live on set, you will not want to miss what it was like when we return. That's next on Speak.
My boy Icy.
Big, big game last night, and my boy showed up. You see my boy iced up. You see me iced. That's what we do.
I don't care if it's a good team.
Go wash your mouth. Third, he look at you like.
And Philadelphia. Oh. Whoa, whoa. It's like whatever you did, yeah. Don't do that again. That
Holla if you hear me.
The Eagles just have more.
Eagles got more, and it is fair to say the Slim agrees. Holla if you hear me.
Slim was talking today. He was like, look, we had speak. I'm going to speak.
Slim is starting to get a little comfortable. You know, the first time he was a little shy, he didn't say too much. But this time, yeah, he was talking that talk. Yeah, he was
amped up. You say it's Adalia's diamonds, though. VVS stones.
What was it with the stones, big dog?
I gave him three-pointers. Those three-pointers. Okay. They ain't too expensive, but they all right.
Yeah. I'm just waiting. Clearly, he ain't like them, though. Yeah. You need to go back to another jeweler.
Getting them back. Thank you. I'm going to get them back.
Got to do that. Y'all could have been watching any show. You hung with us for the last 90 minutes. We don't take it for granted. Same time tomorrow.